Pickaxe.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
All right, I'm going to take off my headset for this intro. It's going to be a running intro. All right, you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, just wait. Okay, you guys can still hear me, all right? We're going to do this. Oh, get ready, welcome to the Triforce Podcast! Woo! Trumpet music, please. Editors, insert that. That kind of thing. It's like we've run out onto stage, you know? You don't just start a show and sat there.
That's true.
Everyone's like, woo!
Everyone always does their like pop, 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 or their like voice warm ups before, and then they run out on stage like, it gives you a lot of energy.
They're running down the steps
of a podcast. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of the Muppet Show. Remember the intro to the Muppet Show with Kermit the Frog? He's like, welcome to the Muppet Show! And then he's just like waving his hands, and then the curtain comes up. And
it was so exciting, that intro.
Yeah, it's really good. It was one of the better intros for sure.
Yep.
Okay, we should always do that then.
I'm worried that we don't have much follow-up though, because already I'm like out of energy and I'm
already
just, like,
asleep.
Slumping in my chair.
Yeah, but don't worry, because what'll happen is the editors are going to put in some really upbeat music, like pow, and it'll be like the Triforce Podcast, and they'll be like, they'll put crowd sounds in and people are pulling stuff.
Lasers.
All that kind of stuff, and it'll be amazing.
All right, so fill me in.
And then we just sit around talking about dad stuff.
No, let's just dive into dad stuff. Any dad things happened this week?
Oh, man, I had a fucking whole week of, like, nonstop dad action. Last week, I was on vacation with my family for a solid 7 days. We went to the United Kingdom, the mainland, as we call it over here, and we visited Centre Parks in Longleat. If you've ever been before, it's a nice place. Nice place to take your family.
Right.
It's one
the
of
United
those places.
Kingdom or Longleat?
Both. The United Kingdom's fairly nice. Longleat's
beautiful. Is that the one
with
the safari park?
That's Longleat.
Yeah, that's Longleat. So, Longleat Forest is where Centre Parks is as well. It's just, like, next-door neighbours.
Is it where you drive your car around and the monkeys pull off your windscreen wipers and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. They've got,
Lewis, they're called children.
They've got... Okay. They've got lions. They've got some giraffes and stuff. They've got feral children foaming at the mouth, frothing.
Took me a while to get that one.
Just running around, trying to pull things off your car and stuff.
Yeah.
But we stayed at Centre Parks the whole time this time. And it's one of those places where it's like, you pay for your accommodation, you get there, and then it's kind of like a menu, right? You can do as much or as little as you want to. If you want to just hang out at your like little villa or cottage thing or whatever all the time and like watch TV and have barbecues and stuff, you can do that. It's cool. It's fine. There's lots of nice places to walk around. You can hire a bike. Or you can just like do lots of different things. Like we did a whole bunch of shit while we were there and it was really fucking exhausting. It was fun, but holy crap, I'm so tired. Like I don't know if I'll ever recover. Like, I'm too old
for
Centre Parks.
Did you have, an itinerary planned, or did you just kind of wing it each day? You're like, what are we going to do today?
We're very much up for winging it. Like, we don't really plan things too far.
You are wingers. Yeah. Do you like that? Do you like that sort of free roaming
activity? I think so, yeah.
Activity?
I think it works better with kids because kids are so unpredictable. So you can get a sense for what kind of mood they're in, and then you can plan accordingly that day.
Do you have like things though, like you make an effort to go out and do something, or do you sometimes just have a day where you just can't be asked to leave the room? Or is that impossible with kids? Is it like,
well,
does it just make you go stir crazy?
It's impossible, yeah. The one day that we decided that it was raining, we were all tired. It was like near the end of like the vacation or whatever. And we were like, let's just like stay in today, or at least try to stay in. But it's not relaxing at all. You don't just like sit there and fart around on your iPad and, you know, eat potato chips or whatever. Like basically you spend the whole day constantly telling people to stop doing things, making sure that they don't kill themselves. You have to sort of watch out for when they leave the room and they're by themselves, because all it takes is a split second for one of them to like knock out all their teeth, like on a...
And that's your wife.
On a sink or whatever. Yeah, I know. My wife is just like so, so crazy. And like, I got to keep tabs on her all the time. It's nuts. But yeah, so it was fun, but it was really fucking hardcore and like full on and stuff. And it was good. We had like, you know, we rented a car to get there because we had to like fly into an airport that was nowhere near where we were going. So we got to drive around the UK a bit and stuff. And that was pretty cool. And yeah, and everyone, we got home, and then literally the day after we got home, my son started school again. So it's just been like, I have to do the school runs now. Got to wake up like super early to get him ready and like take him to school.
Did you take a picture of him on the doorstep as like first day of school thing?
Yeah, you have to like every year. Like,
yeah, we've got them for every year.
You have like kids, their uniforms change and stuff and they look bigger and everything. It's hilarious. So you got to take pictures. And they like to look at them too.
Yeah, they love it. They love it.
Yeah. They look back a couple of years and they're like, oh, I can't believe I was so small. And you're like, yep, that was you. Now look at you.
My mom was up for the last week because she loves my girls. She loves them and she's on her own, obviously. So she comes up as often as she can to look after the girls. So I kind of had a dad week in that I was able to pretty much do what I wanted. Did a few things with my mum and the kids, but generally she'd take them out and do stuff with them. So I was able to, you know, we did like some recording this week and stuff like that. Mm. And so I was able to do stuff, which was nice. That was pretty much why that was her excuse. Oh, this way you'll be able to work and stuff like that. So I was able to do not really too much dad stuff. I was doing more sort of PFLAC stuff than dad stuff. But
nice.
It was funny because I was talking to my mum. This is when I drove her to the station just now. She was telling me about like when we first moved over here. Obviously, I was very young. I was like 8 or 9. So I have vague recollections of the kind of jobs that she used to have. And I know that one of the jobs she had was a friend of mine his family ran a guest house. So she worked sort of for the guest house. So she was working for my friend's mum, which is a little awkward, I guess. Like, but money's money. But the main thing that she was telling me was that I didn't know or I'd forgotten was that she had spent some time looking after some old people in the area, not a nurse so much as just a helper, if you like.
Right.
So the lady that we bought our house off in Bournemouth, lovely old lady who's almost 100% dead by now. Because it was a long time ago. Which is the first thing that I thought of was, she must be dead.
She's dead.
No. She's 98% dead. She is like a zombie hanging on by a thread.
Almost certainly gone. Right. But she had like, she, you know, these old ladies, obviously it's generally old ladies left on their own because the men die younger, right? So these old ladies keep plowing on into their late 80s and 90s and stuff somehow. A lot of them have really, really, really interesting lives. Like really interesting lives. And there's millions of them stashed away in these old granny flats in Bournemouth. And I just think it's such a shame that they don't have any people to really talk to. And their stories are kind of lost. You know, their entire life history boils down to them for the last 5 or 10 years of their life, just in a flat being alone.
Mm.
And I think it's really sad because my mum was telling me one of these ladies, she'd had a really interesting life. She'd like a couple of her husbands had been like really wealthy or something, you know, something, some crazy fucking job that they had. One of them was like this governor. She lived in India in the 20s.
Whoa.
Like imagine that. So it was like way back.
Man, I can't even imagine living in India in the year 2017, let alone the
1920s. The 1920s. So she was there for that. And her husband had all these polo trophies. He used to play a lot of polo. So he was obviously quite posh. But one time they were walking, they were going out for dinner and they had to go down through a fairly sort of dodgy area. Not dodgy in terms of the people, but dodgy in terms of it's literally like the jungle. Like it was near this jungle path. So he said to her, now we'll probably see a tiger, darling. It's not uncommon, but don't worry. The tiger is much more afraid of you than you are of it.
Right.
And she says, does the tiger know this?
Nice.
Because it's like, it's a really good question. There's a frigging tiger. And I'm like, damn, now this old lady's living in this granny flat with like 100 other grannies all in tiny little flats. But she lived in India and she's like seen lions and shit. So I just think it's a shame. I don't know if there's stories and there's stories about stuff. I mean, the 1920s in India, think how much she could tell you about what that was like.
Well, here's
not
the
just
thing,
the stuff
right?
you could see on Pathé News. It's like really interesting day-to-day stuff.
Everyone knows something you don't. Right. And everyone's got stories that are interesting. They're very happy to tell you. Actually, do you know what? I don't think my nan actually does. My nan is one of these 90-year-old ladies who you know, who's gradually got sort of more incapable as she's grown older.
Yeah.
And so we've had people go and help her, you know, collect the shopping or push her down to the library or whatever it is that, you know, gradually. And I think she recently sort of asked us to put her in a more of a home where she can sort of not. She wanted that, though. She was kind of like,
yeah, I think
you know,
it's a sensible decision.
I can't be asked anymore. I want to kind of don't want to bother cooking for myself. Can we get me in a home with other old ladies where I can chat to them and play Scrabble? And and I don't know. It's like it's a different thing. But she, I don't think she has any interesting stories. Actually, I mean, I speak to her all the time. Maybe she's told me them all already. Actually, maybe that's
it. It's really weird, though, isn't it? What have these people done that makes them so fucking like unwanted and repulsive that nobody wants to look after their own mums and dads, and they just like,
I don't think it's repulsive. That's unfair.
I think that's also generalization. Nobody wants to do it. Loads of people want to do it.
Their parents, like their old ass parents, off to like a home, a retirement home. I can understand a nursing home. Okay?
No, but I think this is a stereotype. I think we see this on TV and movies and as like something to demonize, right? Like, and I don't think that many people do ship off their relatives to a nursing home. You know, it is definitely a classic Simpsons thing where it's like, oh no, don't put me in the home. Kind of like, you know. It's,
I don't know. I think stereotypes means that this stuff happens more than you think, though. That, you know, it is fairly common. I don't know anybody who has an elderly mother or father that like isn't in a home, or unless they're perfectly capable, they're still living a life in their own house or whatever. But the minute that things become like a bit too much for them or whatever, they just go to like a home. It's not like you invite them to live in your house or you do anything to help them other than just like foot the bill for them to live somewhere else. Like,
if my mum came to stay here, and we've got quite steep staircases, I don't know how she's going to get up and down those stairs.
Yeah.
Like when she's in her 80s. So you'd have, I mean, I know people who've had to build like a granny annex, right, on the back of their house, which is like the flat bit. So you can come in the front door and go straight. There's like, they have to build a bathroom down there with a shower.
Yeah.
And they have like the granny annex out the back for the old biddy to go into. They don't have like a wheelchair ramp in the house. And I've seen, because a relative of ours, the dad had a stroke, like a really bad stroke. So he was in a wheelchair and all the rest of it. And they had to, like, it was a lot of money to redo the whole ground floor of the house so that he never needed to go upstairs because he couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So most people are not in the situation where they can do that, or they have the space, or maybe they're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, if my kids said, yeah, we'll move heaven and earth so that you can live in an annex at the back of a house, I'd say, do you know what? Just save the money. I'll stay in a home which is purpose-built and has other people of my age that I can hang out with. And here's the other thing you don't probably know, is that those old people in those old houses are having sex all the fucking time.
What
you would not believe it. I am telling you, dude.
They're not.
I am telling you, it's like a fucking bordello. You think I'm joking? I'm telling you. You ask people who work in those old folks' homes, they are doing it.
I was
going
to ask you how
stop.
You knew that, and I guess that checks out, but I don't think they are. I think when you're old,
serious,
when you're fucking
dude.
Old as hell like that, I don't think you have a sex drive. Half those guys can't even get boners.
That, right, and what invention has come along in the last 15 years
that
may have changed that.
Viagra,
homie, they're doing
okay.
it.
All right. You know what?
And the thing is, their girlfriends, they don't break up with them. Their girlfriend or boyfriend dies because they're all super fucking old. So they have all these short-term relationships and they're just like, hey, my girlfriend died last week. Do you want to get together? Yeah, that's convenient. My boyfriend died last week. That's cool. Let's do it. And they go up to their room and they've got privacy and they just fucking do it all the time.
Oh my God, it's
I'll give
like
you
some,
the benefit of the doubt, but
I'm serious, dude. I'm fucking serious.
I fucking don't think it happens.
It's like some end of the world. People stranded on a space station with aliens
awful.
On there. Everyone's killing everyone.
Why
like,
does it sound awful?
Because, man, I don't want to fucking... When I'm that old, I don't want to look at somebody's wrinkly old pussy. Like, that's not me. I don't want to sit
see
around
your wrinkly
in
old
my
dick.
Fucking... that too. I want to sit around in my fucking Mr. Rogers cardigan sweater, okay, with my fucking slippers and my paper and stuff. And I want to, like, look at people and say, shit, I wish I was young again. But I don't want to look at some fucking old granny pussy or whatever. Like,
I'm pretty sure they do it in the dark, dude. It's still, you
that's
know,
still fucking gross. Like, you can still
feel
it.
It doesn't
it
matter if
stuff.
You're in your 90s, any hole's a goal. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think so, man. I think when my dick stops working, I'm cool with that. Like, yeah, I've made kids and stuff. I've had a lot of sex in my time. Okay, I'm not going to go into details. When I'm old, I'm fine. I don't need to do it anymore. I'll watch MacGyver and fucking smoke a pipe and stuff and just, like, go to bed at 6 o'clock at night or whatever, and I'm cool. I don't need to have sex anymore at that point in my life. I'm sure of it.
You'll get your pipe and slippers. You'll, you know, do the crossword. You'll walk down to the shop and buy the milk and smell the flowers and, you know, look longingly at your phone.
Pay somebody 25 cents to clear my attic and stuff, like... You know, just general old people
stuff. Just think sadly about those days when you went to Longley and had to tell people to stop doing things all day.
Stop trying to kill yourselves and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
All I'm saying is I think that you are doing what a lot of people do and assuming that the way they think now is the way they're going to think later. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're saying, oh, I won't want that. But, I mean, when I was 17 years old, I was like, I ain't never having no kids.
Yeah.
And now I've got kids and I would never have changed it. And then, you know, look back and you think, geez, when I'm 40 or 50, I'm not going to want to have sex. I'm going to look like some horrible, bald old man. I want to have sex all the fucking time. And I don't see why that's going to change.
You look like a horrible, just because you're 30 bald, 40 old man years right on. Now and you want to
exactly,
have sex all
that's
the time.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. You kind of fucking stink too, actually.
And I still don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm horny as fuck. Like, there's no... there's no, just because I'm old, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to look at the wrinkly old pussy. You are wrinkly. And what you are, you like... That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Yeah. If that's
I'm not
true,
saying
actually.
If I was 80 and some 20-year-old model wanted to have sex with me, that I'm going to go.
Well, that
I
would
prefer
be different.
A wrinkled pussy.
That would be different. Yeah. In that case, maybe I'd be tempted to have sex in my later years, but.
But you're surrounded by old people all the time, so maybe your appreciation for what beauty is can change.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, but that in itself for me would kill the mood, though. I would just be miserable surrounded
see,
by all these old people.
Tell you what. What's the date? What is the year? It's 2017. All right. So in 50 years' time, Sips. We'll have a Triforce reunion, and you can tell me how many old biddies you're poking. All right, you just tell me.
Yeah, okay, I will. Sure.
Well, I don't know. I think probably a couple of you guys will be dead by then. It's probably just
I've only
be
got
me.
A couple of years left.
I'm hoping cyborgs. I'll become like a cyborg.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon's good? Well, you guys are older than me, right? So you know, I'm thinking that you're gonna go first, and then
wait,
you know,
how much older are we? Than
I'll
you,
be
though?
Coveting
how...
your wives, and it'll be like, oh
you
yeah,
stay away
you know,
from Mrs. F.
My girlfriend died recently. So, you know.
How old are you, Lewis? You're like 35, right?
I'm 34 this year.
34, okay.
Yeah.
So you're 7 years younger than me.
You're 3 years younger than me.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a big difference. You know, it's plenty of time.
Jesus.
Gosh.
He's so happy that we're going to die first.
God, I'm just... Can you hear me suggesting that I'm going to cuck you from beyond the grave?
Oh. Yeah, I heard that.
Jesus Christ.
Try it.
Sounds man, dreadful. Oh, man. But
what you don't know is we have a suicide pact.
Right.
And you're part of it. When we get too old, we kill Lewis and then ourselves.
Okay. I saw a movie like a while back, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was a movie about the end of the world, and there was like a meteor heading towards Earth, and it was going to end the whole world or whatever.
Okay.
Was Bruce Willis in it?
No. And the scene that I saw was there's like this man and a woman sitting on the roof of a building holding guns to each other's heads and like crying because they didn't want to like, you know, have to experience this meteor crashing into the world and ending it or whatever. So right before it happened, they were just going to shoot each other in the head, like suicide pact style,
right.
Like go out together sort of thing. And I thought, it's pretty miserable, but at the end of the day, too, you can understand why people would be tempted to do that. Because, like,
nah, man,
I don't want to fucking experience that, and I certainly don't want to live through that either. Like, I'm quite happy with the world being the way it is now.
I don't mind dying. If I'm gonna die in that, you know, in the conflagration, I would, like you said, I would rather die than survive it and be living like an animal.
Yeah,
and the earth is on fire and everything's
all
terrible.
Wrinkled up.
Yeah,
the thing here is that I don't want to be wrinkly. I don't want to be wrinkled because of radiation from, like, you know, a nuclear blast or whatever. I don't
want
to be wrinkled from being old. I just don't want to get wrinkled.
Hey, smooth skin.
But just
hey, smooth skin.
But just imagine
this. Want to try a wrinkle? Oh, I got a good load of wrinkles here. You just try them out and maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll find that actually, yeah, I like a wrinkly pussy. Maybe.
Oh, no,
come inside.
I don't like a wrinkly pussy.
I'm actually a lady.
Jesus.
You didn't know.
Oh, oh my God.
I got a good old wrinkly pussy you can have a look at. God, I smoked a lot of fallout.
It's like one of those fucking cats with no fur. You're all like wrinkled up. Here's my wrinkly pussy. Oh, no.
This wrinkly kitty is called Marjorie. Oh, give her a good stroking. Oh, it's like
Marjorie's hungry.
It's like stroking the dry scabs of an eczema sufferer.
It's like, oh God.
Jesus Christ.
God,
Jesus.
I distrust cats.
All right, so wait. So just listen, okay? If the Earth's about to get destroyed, like let's say the moon is going to smash into the Earth. Just imagine that. Or some giant asteroid. It's going to be unbelievable. The whole planet's going to blow up. If you kill yourself, you miss, quite frankly, the once-in-a-lifetime chance to see the planet get destroyed by the fucking moon. I'd want to see that.
You wouldn't,
the last
though.
Moments of my life will be the most unbelievable in human history. Well, you're going to miss it because you're going to be a coward and shoot yourself.
Well,
I want to see,
no, it's
fucking come on, moon!
I don't want to see that.
It's like coming
really
right
don't.
For me. Ah!
You know what's worse,
top.
Though? I don't want to be standing around people that I know and care about and watching them die in, like, some inferno as well. Like, I'd rather just,
no,
like,
just
go
rush
before
it.
That happens.
Just charge the
well,
moon.
Here's the
I'd
thing,
get a
right?
big flag
is
with
that,
the Earth on it.
Some people
right.
get... It's like being on a roller coaster, right? Imagine, like, you know, watching the moon come to, like, splat you. I mean, it will be as instantaneous
yeah.
as... getting shot, but if you could get it in your head that it's like exciting, like it's a roller coaster, you could make that experience not terrifying, you can make that experience exciting. A lot of the time, right, fear is what you can, and also a lot of other things are how you make a mental choice about it. You can change your opinion on how things are very easily. You decide how you experience the world.
Right.
So, you know, if you think you're going to find something, well, to some extent, I don't know. It's a little bit like I was doing some art again, right?
And I would love to see Lewis's art, man.
Oh my God, one day you might. It's like your son is better artist than I am, Sips, 100%.
Man, like, he's fucking better than me too. Like he's pretty good. You should see him go. Holy shit. He made like a map of Center Parks while we were away. It was fucking
That's
pretty
awesome.
Good. Yeah, it was
sweet. Wow. Lewis, did you watch that video with Jim Carrey where he's become a shit artist and you were inspired by that? Is that where this is coming from?
I think I need to watch that movie, but it might put me off what
it's
I'm
called
doing.
The Mask.
What movie is that? Jim Carrey is a
Jim
shit
Carrey,
artist.
It was like a YouTube video. This is a thing that he does now. People don't know if it's like a bit ahead of a movie or if he's actually become, like he's decided that he likes painting and it's like, it's very therapeutic for him and everything, which a lot of people say.
Okay.
But it's shit because he's not an artist. He's a fucking actor and he's just, people are saying, oh, isn't that really good Jim Carrey? In the same way they'd say it if any adult with money and fame did a thing, they'd say, oh yeah, it's great, really good. I mean, you can be a fucking serial killer and do the worst art ever and people be like, oh, this is fascinating work just because you're a fucking serial killer. So
gives
Jim
us
Carrey
real
does a
insight
painting.
Into the mind of the
yeah.
killer.
Yeah.
I like what he's done with the skulls and the gore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just felt like, because I went to Gamescom and uh-huh. obviously there's a modern art gallery there that I've been to before and
fucking
you walk
hell,
through
man.
It.
Every fucking year you do this, don't you?
Yeah.
You go to Gamescom and then you go to a modern art gallery.
We talked about this before and I just sort of thought, fuck it. Like, you know, I could paint some blue fucking paint on a canvas. Also, all of the walls of my flat are like bare. So I decided I was going to just fill them up with stuff. And I didn't really want to go to IKEA and buy like a thing for £10. I'd rather
and
like
it's the
buy
the same
like,
thing that's on everybody's fucking wall. Like, get something interesting on there for Christ
well, also,
sake.
Like, I thought, fuck it. I'll buy like, well, I could buy like three fucking canvases for £10 and then like a weird.
So, wait. So, you've decorated your flat with art that you've made?
Some
oh,
of it.
You know, a lot of artists like to imbue their work with like a personal touch at the end, you know, like
right.
so a streak of semen.
Just like a little
oh
like
my God.
Drop of semen just to sort of like give it that human touch.
I feel like that's too much. I don't want to think of my own semen every time I look at my art, or else it'll just make me horny all the time. Do you know what I mean? It'll be
well,
like,
well, that's part of the art.
That's what gets people going. It gets their creative juices flowing.
No, but like,
that's all they've got hung in old folks' homes. The art is just semen.
Yeah, just gigantic horse erections and
oh
stuff.
Oh my
like
God.
That.
That's why there's all this sex going on. Fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So, they can't stop thinking about it.
But no, really, like I'll show you a few, but it's just weird. Sometimes like I when I was writing, the thing I was always taught was that if you're ever faced with like a blank sheet or a blank piece of paper or anything, that's like where you get writer's block from. You have to just start putting things down. And then as soon as you've written something down, it all just fills out. And it's like, it's easy from that point on, right? And then that's what it's like for me. I'd be like, where the fuck do I start? And then I just start making bullet points, start making notes or some trigger. And then 3 hours would go by and I was like, oh, I'm done now. And I'd come out, it's almost like I was in like a reverie or something, or in like, you know, in a trance. And it's the same thing with like art, doing a bit of art. It's like, I just splodge some stuff down and I'm like, okay, what does this look like? It looks like a fucking crunchy bar or whatever. It's now.
So you're basically a level one painter on The Sims, but deciding to hang up your own art in your house rather than sell it.
Fucking awful, though, Sips. Like, I know that it's awful, but it's kind of okay because it makes me feel. But this is part of like the decision sort of process. Like, for example,
I'm coming over next week, and we were supposed to like go watch movies at your place last time I was over, but I was too tired and I wanted to just play Hearthstone.
Do you want to do some art with me?
Well, no, I don't want to. I'm very, very interested to see what you've done.
Okay.
Oh, well, man, I'll take pictures, Flax. I'll send them to you.
Oh, please.
Oh, good.
Oh,
good.
Shit. This is going to
be
great.
Well, I might post them on. I'm a little bit embarrassed talking about it, but I shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be. Who cares? Like, you've got nothing to
do. I don't give a shit, really.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're a really good artist, you should never really care. Like, because I think art, when you create art, you do it for yourself. You don't do it to impress people.
Damn right.
You don't create it for the benefit of others. Like, other people do benefit from it, obviously, but it's a personal thing, isn't it? You should never feel like self-conscious about some
also
art
the main thing I wanted about, because the main thing I like, one of the things I like about art is that it's not as opposed to I guess I just like seeing it be in 3D. Like if you have a painting, for example, it's you can tell it's not the same as a print, because when you look at a painting in a gallery, the paint kind of comes off the canvas and it gives it this sort of texture that is not flat. Whereas when you've got a print of something, it is just flat. And that, I don't think, represents the painting very well. And so in a sense, like, I wanted to have things that were just 3D. And also,
when you go and look at a painting, especially a famous painting in the flesh, it's a lot more impressive than when you see it.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what's really impressive. You know, like, the really big fucking murals? Like, the huge tapestry ones? I mean, that's crazy. Like to keep the scale and to get like proportions on bodies right, like on that massive scale as well, is insane. Like those are like masterpieces.
But these pieces are actual art, and they're created by someone with natural skill or honed honed talent that's been crafted over tens of thousands of hours.
Well,
you know,
that's a lifetime of
I actually think there is a natural talent to it. Like, I know people who are, like, if you look at someone like Caravaggio, you couldn't just say, oh, yeah, he practiced really hard. Because there's a lot of artists out
there is a degree
who've done
of
painting
it,
their whole life.
I think you have to start really, really, really fucking early. Though,
yeah,
right?
It is. It's something you develop when you're a kid.
It's like Caravaggio or whatever, or these Dutch masterpieces. You know, painters, they started their training at age fucking four and never stopped. It's like, never stopped. You know,
it's not just a technical exercise.
Of technicality to it, though. Like,
of
course. Like, naturally.
I mean, that's the skill. That's the practice and the skill.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if you look at a great artist, it's not just, wow, that's a technically great drawing. It's like, it has to be, because it's also a window into how they see the world and how well they can transcribe that and their feelings about it into an art form. That's the talent.
I knew a bunch of guys that went on to become comic artists. Like, and these guys were drawing all the time at school.
Yeah.
And like a lot of them went on to become comic artists for like, you know, like Street Fighter II comics and stuff. And the stuff that they used to draw was not like what you'd expect, you know, like they didn't just like draw like Zangief every day, you know, to get him perfect or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd walk into art class and they'd be there over their lunch hour drawing because they love doing it and stuff. But they'd be copying stuff out of like anatomy books. So like hands, they would draw hands all the time because the hands are like the hardest thing to draw.
Yeah.
And they would draw like a leg. But with nothing else, just a leg, but like all the muscle definition in a leg, the like all different poses for a leg and stuff. And this is the kind of shit that they would do all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was like the training element of it. They had natural artistic ability, like at a very base level. But because they would do this stuff every day, they got better and better and better. But the anatomical stuff was like super important because that's what, that's what makes like, you know, when you look at like Blizzard art, you know, like of these like orcs that are just fucking ripped to shit holding like big like axes and stuff like that. That all comes from like years of like, you know, doing this like anatomical, like technical drawings and stuff like that, you know, like getting the proportions right, making it look like really good and everything. It's pretty impressive, but man, it's a lot of fucking work.
It really
like
is.
It's not something that somebody with like natural artistic ability doesn't just sit down and draw something like that. It takes like years of fucking practice. Like
and all of those big paintings, like there's sketches that they've done like for a year just to plan that shit all out and get everything in the right proportion and figure out. Because then when you go to put it on the canvas, you can't be like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I got one of the legs is like twice as long as the other leg. Oh, nuts.
Oh, God. Yeah, no.
You got to get it right.
It's nuts. But like, you know, there's all sorts of like different art, like, you know, like comic book art is one thing. And, you know, like my son watches this show called Art Ninja on CBBC. And it's like, it's not the same kind of art, but it's still impressive. Like the things that he can do, like he can like make like these like crafts and just like easy things that you can do at home where you like fold the paper and cut it and do different things with it and stuff. And like my son loves it. And like, that's the kind of shit that like, you know, like, he's at that age where he likes doing that kind of stuff, sort of thing. And
it is weird, isn't it?
It's impressive. It's very impressive.
Art is both on one hand, you know, something that kids and toddlers and we're really happy to expose them to, and it's really wholesome and it's really enjoyable and they get a lot of joy out of it. And then it becomes this thing that only pretentious people do or people who've honed their skill and are very, very good at it. Like, you know, there's not too many casual artists. Like you have a few casual musicians. You have a few people who are playing piano, but you don't see a lot of adults learning piano. It feels like that's something that you do as a kid as well. You learn to play music instruments while you're in school. You don't, you know, other than a random couple of people pretending to learn guitar for their entire life kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. So anyway, I just thought, you know, it's weird. It's good to get over these predefined ideas and just fucking get involved, do something weird, do something different. I'm also going to Japan.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned, yeah.
In like a month's time.
You looking forward to it?
Yeah, you went to Japan, didn't you, Sibs?
Yeah, I did, yeah. For a couple of weeks. 2007, I went for like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it was fun. What was your like reasoning to go there in the first place? Have we talked
about this? Wanted to go. We just like we'd read a lot about it and it seemed like an interesting place to go. We didn't have kids or anything, like had a pretty good job, had some disposable income, so we're like, let's save up, plan it out, and go. We got like translation books and everything.
So
and
that
we
was like, quite planned, as opposed to your free roaming modern holidays.
Yeah, well, I mean, we planned it like maybe 3 months in advance, sort of thing. But and we didn't plan anything to do while we were there. We turned up and then just sort of winged it while we were there. But I mean, you got to plan it to some degree. You got to like book flights and stuff. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but when it comes to planning, I plan very, very little, as you may have noticed.
Yeah.
So what happens is like you'll message me and say, we're going to do some CK2 next week. And I'll be like, cool. And Mrs. F will say, I was thinking we'd go here on holiday this year. And I found a hotel and I found a bunch of stuff to do. And I've read a bunch of reviews about it. And I've done this, that, and the other. And I'll be like, cool. Like, I don't mind having shit planned for me. Like when we went away on holiday to France, Mrs. F had like a full fucking itinerary. We're going to do this on Thursday, this on Wednesday. What do you think? And I was like, that sounds great. Like she loves to plan ahead.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
hates surprises and she hates just leaving things sort of hanging, which is good because I don't give a shit either way. So I'm happy to let her do the planning. So it works for me. I don't actually do any planning, but I have a lot of stuff planned. It's just that I didn't plan it.
I used to like the winging and the unplanned thing, but I found that you can always break plans. Like you can always plan, like what we're doing is we're planning something for every day in Japan, but we can always say, actually, do you know, we're not going to do this today. We're going to do this other thing we want to do or whatever.
Yeah.
But at least then we're not stuck in the hotel or whatever, like just kind of like thinking, oh, we should be going out and making the most of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got vague, that's the way I've sort of done things. I have more of a sketch plan for every day rather than an hour by some people have a minute by minute plan where they're like, we're spending 45 minutes here, then we're going taking a 10 minute walk to here.
You say we, who are you, are you going with your dad?
No, I'm not.
Oh, your mom then. Nice. Well, that'd be good. Has she ever been?
It was my dad's 80th birthday, by the way. I'm going to keep saying this. My dad's 80th
birthday. Happy birthday, Papa.
We went out.
Happy birthday.
week ago. I bought him a solar powered watch, so he actually has to fucking wear it, because otherwise he would just like not wear it. Because you know he's like, oh, it's a special watch that my son bought me. I want to keep it in the box, whatever.
Right, listen. Speaking of dads, and also speaking of art that we just talked about, I just wanted to say before we move on too far from art and dads, I had a real dad moment while I was on my vacation last week. When I was younger, I used to draw a lot, like at school and stuff. I just like drawing. I don't draw so much now, but I'm okay. I can draw sort of thing.
Like, and actual sketching, actual like.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so when I was younger, I used to draw like a lot of like the action figures and stuff that we were playing with at the time. So like Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. Like I can draw like the Ghostbuster logo and stuff like that. And like I just somehow remembered like that I can draw some of these characters, some of these logos and stuff, which. I never put like anything and like much stock into it at all. You know, I just thought at the time, whatever, this is all there is to do sort of thing. So I'm just drawing, and me and my friends would draw and stuff. And it was really fun. But when I was on vacation last week and it was raining, we had like some, you know, some colors and pencils and stuff like for the kids, you know, just something for them to do sort of thing while we were like stuck inside. Mm. And my son was just like, can you draw this? And I was like, yeah, I can actually. And I'd just like sit down and draw it. He'd be like, oh my God, like, how can you do this stuff? And he'd be like, how about this? Like, yeah, I can do that. He's like, we had like a whole page of like Ghostbusters and logos and stuff. And then we had a whole page of like Ninja Turtles. And then we did a whole page of like ghosts and stuff. And like, that was hilarious. It was so funny. He was just like increasingly amazed at like everything that I was able to draw for him that like didn't look fucking terrible either. Like some of it looked like all right sort of thing. So it was awesome. It was really nice. It was good.
Oh shit.
He's like, I think he thought for like a brief moment that actually I was like something other than a person that just says no all the time. It was really good.
Right.
I get the impression that that is what you sometimes become. It's just the man who shuts down fun.
Oh, you have to. Like, yeah. It's crazy. Because the thing is, like a kid's concept of fun is like stacking a whole bunch of cushions onto a couch and then jumping up and down on them. And they're like super uneven and wobbly and they're high up and going to fall down and give themselves a concussion sort of thing. So like you do sort of have to be like the gatekeeper of fun in those cases for sure. Like it's the worst, but I mean, you got to weigh it up. Like, you know, do you want to be the guy who says no? Or do you want to be the guy who's sitting in a hospital for the rest of your life because your kid's just like fucking mangled from doing some dumb shit on the couch? So
I mean, I was talking to Ben and Ben was like, you know, oh yeah, Japan sounds great because it's one place I want to go because it's literally about, it's as far as alien as you can get, you know, without being literally little green men. You know, it's the most different, weirdest culture in the world.
It is really strange, and it's fun though. It's exciting and it's fun and endearing.
I've always wanted to go.
It's the kind of place that you'll leave and you'll be like, oh, I'd love to go back, or I'd love to live here for like a period of time just to like really immerse myself in the culture and stuff. It is nice. You know, it's fun.
I really want to go there because they have those girlfriend cafes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's what it comes back to.
Yeah.
I really want to
go there for some weird sexual reason.
Girlfriend Always. Cafe.
Yeah. Tell me about these cafes.
Well, so my friend went there. My friend was teaching English over there for about a year.
Okay? Right.
And some of my other buddies went out there to sort of hang out with them and spend some time and sort of, you know, to just say hi. And they had a friend living in Japan, which is a first for us. So they wanted to go and see what it was like. And they have these cafes where you can basically, it's not like a porn thing, right? It's like a company thing. So you hang out and you've got like this sweet Japanese girlfriend for like an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
While you have whatever, coffee and, you know, muffins. I just thought that sounds awesome. And they said that like all the girlfriends that you could get were a little on the chubby side, which is my thing anyway, aww, right? So I'd be like, you get a nice little sweet chubby Japanese girlfriend for an hour, that'd be fucking awesome. And I could like really imagine, here I am with my hot, slightly chubby young Japanese girlfriend.
One second.
That'd be amazing.
Nice.
Go on.
You're a chubby chaser.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. I like chubby girls.
You feed her as well, or just a chaser?
No. I just like, I don't like girls that are like sticks. You know what I mean? Like, if you can see ribs, that doesn't do it for me at all. Like, I hate all that shit.
No, I don't like skinny girls.
No offense to skinny girls. No. I like you as people. Just saying, when it comes to, you know, then the skinny girls is not my bag.
More cushion for the pushing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it.
I get it.
Distilled as a bumper sticker.
Have
that
I
is
never
it.
Heard that expression before? Holy shit.
Because you're not in my world, man.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know.
Gotta get in there. Into the
I
mind
like
of
a,
the flex.
I like a figure eight. I like a curve. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no,
would
I don't.
You, if you were in there, you'd want a nice skinny Japanese girlfriend cafe experience.
It's like, no. With me, it's like two sticks, like, fucking rubbing against. It's a bad idea. You know,
it's like those anime schoolgirls with, like, the, like, knobbly knees and stuff like that. Like,
right.
You know, like, they're all skinny and frail and stuff. Like, no. I'm with
that's
you,
for, that's
I like them.
Non-confident people.
I think. Like them a bit chubbier than that.
Maybe. That's the same thing. It's like going back to the old folks thing, though. It's almost like, I think to some extent, people are attracted to people who are the same level of attractiveness as them, or at least...
Oh, of course.
Or I don't know, man. I'm pretty ugly, and I like hot chicks, so...
Yeah, but it's like the same or higher, right?
No,
it's
like, no.
You're
like,
not gonna,
I like
you're
them,
go
like,
lower.
Red, smoking hot. Like, I'm not...
That would be higher.
Looking, so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but,
the same
but your
or
definition
higher.
Of red, smoking hot is very different to other people's definitions, and you won't realize this, but it'll be because you think, well, you know, maybe I've got a chance...
I think we can all agree that Liz Hurley is red, smoking hot.
We can, actually. All right,
I love, you know what? It always makes me laugh whenever we try to give examples of hot women that are currently
Cindy
active and celebrities.
Anderson.
It's like, she's not J-Lo. She's not Liz Hurley. It's like, those women are in their 80s now. Come on.
They're not in their
80s.
They're
not. They're going to
be hot. They're
going to
age
maybe.
At the same rate as us. That's the
right,
problem.
Right, and that's... Brings us back to point one about old people having sex. You're telling me, Sips, you wind up in an old folks' home with 72-year-old Liz
all
Hurley.
Right, yeah, if I'm in an old folks' home and they all look like Liz Hurley, I'll be having sex, Flex.
Exactly.
All right,
and
but
that's what I'm saying.
The thing is, that's not the case. You're in a fucking home with a bunch of people with Marge Simpson hair that's fucking white, and you can, like, see their head because it's all thin and weird and stuff, and they look skeletal. They don't look like Liz Hurley at all. You're not having sex with them.
Weird. No, you don't have to. There's people
but
like that who are
is.
Your age who look terrible. You're not having sex.
Go to an old folks' home after we're done the podcast and do a trip report. Tell me what you see.
Right, we're not talking about old people that are in there for, like, palliative care and they're, like, clinging to life. I'm talking about people in their 70s
and
80s.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm talking about the same people. The floral dress that goes down to their ankles with those weird fucking leathery gray shoes, like the orthopedic ones.
Right, but they
ones.
All do that. That's,
yeah.
like, their thing.
And then they all have, like, that fucking wrinkly-ass skin on their face that looks like pulled back, and their teeth are more exposed than they were in their younger years, and their eyes are super fucking wide open and stuff.
Listen, Sips,
and they
when
have
you
that
go,
petrified
you,
hair, like they look like they've been electrocuted.
When you reach the old folks' home, right, it's going to be women
person.
Of our generation.
Not?
It's going to be girls in fucking hoodies with nerdy glasses on.
Oh, you guys are crazy. You don't understand how old people
I
work,
do.
Okay?
You don't understand. I know old people, all right? I've seen old people.
Right, so have I.
Everybody's seen old people. And there are some old people, like, they dress the way they did when they were 30.
Yeah.
It's just that the fashion looks like it is for old people because that's the way, if you went back to 1930, you'd say, geez, everyone's dressed like an old person. So when we're old, they're going to be sitting around wearing jeans and t-shirts and hoodies just like Lewis is saying. And also, bear in mind, their diet back then was fucking awful. Like, they didn't get anything fresh. It was a fucking
they
war.
They did? What are you talking
Everything
about?
Everything was in a fucking can, and it would probably have cancer in it and radiation and shit.
I don't think we're much better
hey,
these days.
Hey, smooth
somehow.
Skin, come over here.
It's smooth skin.
So what? So in the old folks' home when we get there, it's going to be a bunch of
They're
people
They're all
going to
be Liz fucking Hurley.
Coke Zero.
And J-Lo.
Wearing,
exactly.
wearing fucking hoodies.
Playing fucking Overwatch.
Listening to iPods. Playing Overwatch.
It's going to be completely
Christ.
Different. It's going to be like
right.
young, like we are now, but we'll be old. That's right. it.
Yeah.
That's Remember the good. Internet? Yes, before the asteroid.
We
took
have
it
to time capsule this. We have to time capsule this and meet up again in 50 years' time and laugh about this because I'm 100% the person who's going to come out of this being right, okay? And you guys are
okay,
fucking
buddy.
Crazy.
I don't... Okay, I mean, my mind is going to be fucking mush in 50 years. I don't... You know,
nah,
I'm going to be like...
be drugs and shit.
I don't... Well, maybe we'll all just be fucking plugged into the Matrix by that point. Do you know what I mean? Internet.
Yeah, we'll all be in the Matrix. We'll have robots to do everything for us. You'll be able to live in your house. A robot will carry you up the stairs. That's a big market is going to be robots for old folks. I saw that movie. What was it called? The one with the old lad who gets a robot. It's called The Old Man Who Got a Robot, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, and he was like, originally he hated it, and then it became like...
Yeah, because he used it to like break into places. He was like a thief. And he realized that he could use the robot to do stuff. It was good.
I was
expecting not to enjoy it, but I actually really enjoyed it.
My dad really enjoyed that movie.
Lewis, look at that old boy breaking in with that robot. Oh, that's just marvelous stuff, Lewis. Oh, good recommendation, boy.
Is he in the room? My dad is not some sort of posh lord.
Yeah, he is.
Like thigh-slapping country farmer with a shotgun under his arm.
Oh, nice.
Fucking
hell. I feel like the Golden Girls is like, you know, like that chart of human evolution where like they're like monkeys and they become like more upright and then they turn into...
Right.
Golden Girls is a bit like that for old people as well, right? Like, if you were to line up all the Golden Girls, it's like all the stages of, like, being old, right? Like, early old age is, like, Blanche Devereaux, okay? And then a little bit on from that is probably Dorothy, I would say, because she's still, like, she looks old, but, like, she looks like young old, but not so much so as Blanche Devereaux.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you can see what she looked like 40 years
ago. From Dorothy, you go to Rose, because Rose looks fucking old, okay?
Yeah.
And then from Rose, obviously, you go to fucking what's-her-face, the really old one.
Sophia.
Who actually turned out to be the youngest of all of them.
Yeah, I know.
In real
nuts.
Life, which is weird, but she looked oldest.
And she was in Don't Stop or My Mom Will Shoot with Sylvester Stallone, lest we forget.
Yeah, yeah. But so the oldest Golden Girl is what you can expect in these old folks' homes, okay? Like, stereotypically, with the big fucking glasses and, like, a fro and stuff, okay? Nobody's going to be wearing hoodies, guys. I'm just fucking telling you. Like, it's
I mean,
not
you're wrong.
Honestly, like, here's the thing, though, right? You got to understand, we're men, okay? So
we are men!
First of all, I don't think we're going to necessarily make... If you're lucky enough to make it to an old folks' home, right?
Yeah.
You're one of a few who's lasted. I think that's probably why these... Because the men who've lasted to these old folks' homes are always, like, leathery-skinned, quite thin, quite tall, you know, the classic Casanova... You know, the strippings, they make it through, right?
Well, the Casanovas have leathery skin.
Yeah, yeah, you know what they're like? They're like old Fonzies.
They get old Fonzies, yeah. That's right.
Dude, Fonzie is hella old now. I saw him.
Yeah,
he's so old.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's what
Henry
happens.
Winkler.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, but I bet you Henry fucking Winkler has his pick.
He's getting all the pussy.
All of that old folks.
He's fucking welcome to it.
No, I don't think.
Nobody else is hitting that pussy. You might as well.
I think probably Henry Winkler, although he's 71, if he wanted to, he could probably date a fucking 40-year-old woman, easy.
Maybe,
you know.
Yeah, probably.
George Clooney can do it for sure, though. Like
he's in his 90s.
He's
and
pretty
he's
fucking
still,
handsome.
He's looking great.
Yeah. He's looking great. No, he's 56, George Clooney.
He's pretty old.
He could date a fucking 20-year-old, Christ.
I mean, he's only a little bit younger than my parents, for fuck's sake.
If I was a hot 21-year-old girl and George Clooney wanted to fuck me, I'd let him fuck me.
Would you go steady with him, though, or would you just, like...
Yeah, for a while. And then, you know, you'd get sick of being around with an old dude, and you'd be like, jeez. And you go with a young guy.
The life of a 20-year-old girl. Jesus, what does a 20-year-old girl even do? Like...
Who knows?
Fucking...
Having sex with George Clooney, that's what.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in the mind of a 20-year-old.
I don't know
woman.
What they
no
do,
idea.
Though. Like, I know younger, like, you know, teenage boys, 20-year-old boys just play lots of video games.
Yeah, because I was that, so exactly. I can remember. But, I mean, I don't know.
But what the fuck do girls do? They just sit around and talk on the phone all the time, I guess. Oh, my God. You see Randy's ball sack? Ew.
Ew. Tiffany Gross.
That's all they do. That's all they talk. That's all they do. They sit around and talk. They have to, because I don't know what the fuck else they're doing.
I know. I speak to, when you speak to some like grown-ass women, right? I'm not talking about no girls. I'm talking about grown-ass women.
Yeah.
About what it was like when they were younger. They, like, you have this impression, I did when I was a young man, of what girls were like, that they were like pristine and amazing, and they just did all this kind of, you know, they were all very together, and they did all their fucking homework.
They always smelled really really nice.
Yeah,
too,
and they're just like super awesome and shit. And then you find out the fucking crazy shit they did and the stuff they did at sleepovers and shit like that. And you're like, holy shit, those girls were nasty.
All I knew when I was 20, all I knew about 20-year-old women was that they were not fucking me. That's for goddamn sure.
They were talking about how they weren't going to fuck you. Like, this is the thing. They all fucking get together and they talk about all the guys they know. Hey, would you ever fuck Lewis? Ooh, Tiffany, gross. No. That's what they do. And they practice kissing on each other and shit. I'm not kidding.
No, they fucking don't.
They fucking do. All right, dude. All right.
Oh, come on.
Girls out there, you tell me, and this is true, I guarantee you, because I know girls that did it, you practiced French kissing with a friend of yours. Don't tell me you didn't. I know you will.
When they were like 14, I'm sure, but not when they were 20. Oh, come on.
No, when they were 20, they just practiced fucking...
Jesus Christ.
I think I read somewhere that the average like 20-year-old woman has had like something like four or five sexual partners by that point. So it's like pretty, you know, it's pretty experienced, you know.
What I want to know is if that's true, right? How the fuck were they not fucking us? Like, what was going on when I was 20?
They were too busy fucking chatting.
You know, I mean, when I was 20,
I mean,
was
you
with,
even had hair back then.
When I was 20, A, I had hair, but B, I was with Mrs. F at the time. But when I was like 15, 16, 17, where the fuck were these girls who were doing all this fucking? They weren't around me. Ugh. Where the fuck were these women at? I want to go and find all the women I knew back then and ask them, did you guys get together and have a talk about how you weren't going to fuck me? And they'd be like, yeah, the council made a decision.
Yeah, we did a veto
and,
on you.
It's binding. I'm sorry.
Fucking
you made
weird.
The list of non-fuckies. You're out.
Oh, man. God damn it.
Well,
I don't know. Like, I mean, guys, for guys, it's a bit different. Or maybe it was just, like, different in the circles that we rolled in. But, like, man, we were not fucking practicing kissing each other. That's for goddamn sure.
Well,
like,
no, obviously not.
I mean, occasionally we laughed at each other's dicks. But, like, that was pretty rare as well. Like, it didn't happen that often. You know, like there's that. Did I ever tell you about the guy that we went to his house to sleep over? But we were like a bit older. We were like 14. I'm sure I told you guys about this. And
is this about the stick?
We got really drunk and we decided to play hide and seek. And every time we went to find this guy, he'd be hiding, but he'd be just completely naked. It was so fucking funny. So like he'd open like the cupboard or whatever, and he'd be like, ah, shit, no, not again. He's just like fucking sitting there, spread eagle, like with no clothes on. Oh, fuck, it was so funny.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, we never practiced kissing each other.
I mean, you know what?
That's where I drew the line.
Young teenage boys are way more uptight about that kind of stuff. So I still remember the year when we all finally admitted that, yes, we did masturbate. And it was like the lower sixth form, so like the first year of A-levels, before we finally admitted that it was a thing. Like prior to that, if you were caught mentioning it or referring to it or it was admitted that you did it, it was like a big deal in my year, like a really big deal.
I think we weren't like too bad about it. I think it just went without saying. Everybody knew that everybody was pretty much
masturbating.
I mean,
we all know we did, but nobody spoke openly about it. Because then you were known as a wanker.
I think it's possible that we were just like the fucking teen nerds who didn't get any action. Like when we talked about this before a little bit on the podcast, the community response was like, oh my God, granddad, we talk about sex all the time, we're fucking around all the time, oh yeah, get up, slam that pussy. Like it was like, Jesus, it was crazy, like the response we got. And it was like,
yeah,
it's different.
Nowadays, people talk about it.
I think it is with the internet and with porn, everyone's like fucking, oh, I don't want to do any normal sex. We're going to fucking stick a vibrator up your ass.
I've had 20 69s already and I'm only 16.
it's different nowadays. Kids are sexualized.
We were born in the generation where the only way to get porn
you
was to like
porno
out
magazines
into the woods
in the woods.
And
yeah.
Find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Find it in the woods.
Or dare somebody to buy it off the top shelf.
Older brothers, my mate's older brother had a porno tape
and
a collection of Razzles, and we must have been 12. It just absolutely blew our minds watching this porno. We were like, holy shit.
We had a lot of
no
French porn. Because I grew up really close
it. It
to
all
French.
Came from France.
To French,
yeah.
Really close to French Canada. So all of the porn that we saw was French. It was hilarious.
Yeah, they fucking love it.
So did I tell you this? My friend's dad, for his 16th birthday, he got him a subscription to the fucking adult channel.
I think you told us about this.
Yeah. Got him the subscription?
Yeah, his dad bought him it, and
gross.
We were all watching it.
Some people do that because they don't want like their kids. They want to like sort of get their kids straight before they become gay sort of thing. So they're like, they expose them to like, you know, like naked women and stuff like that, right, in right. some hope.
They think that's all it is. That they, yeah. Whatever they see first, that's what they'll go for.
I think that's like a fairly, fairly common thing to happen, especially if there's maybe. Like any worries like, oh my God, he asked for a sewing machine for his birthday. Like, let's get him fucking some Playboys quickly before he like, he becomes too gay or whatever. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I think it does happen.
Yeah, some people worry about that shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow. Well, we're all just now thinking about Playboys, and we're going to have a quick break.
Just got to get some toilet paper.
Be back in about 15 days.
15? Jeez.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. So, all right. Well, I think that's a good podcast. I think that's a good place to end. We're going to let you guys go. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with some more of this. You can check out me and Sips and Pflex playing games together on Team Double Dragon as usual on YouTube. And until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.